The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Okay, we're back with another exciting episode of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. I'm Elizabeth Larkin, and with me is Gene Marks. And today we are going to be talking about motivating your employees and getting your clients and customers to pay you on time.
I like it.
Which of those things is harder?
Oh, God, I don't even know. All I know is that getting people to pay me on time is what causes me nausea as opposed to motivating my employees.
Before we get started, I'm going to read another one of our iTunes reviews. I really love this one. This was a 5-star review, and it goes like this. I stumbled on this podcast because I was searching for new business ideas online, and I'm so happy I started listening. They give really thoughtful advice to basic questions on owning and running a business. It's been very helpful to me as I start my new venture, and it makes me feel less alone. That is so nice.
So nice.
Even though she called us basic.
Oh my gosh.
Or he.
She's talking about me only, I'm sure.
But that's what we want to do for people. We want to be the people that you come to for advice and motivation. And we're really happy to provide that for people.
It's good.
So remember, we are now on iTunes. I know I've been saying it for several episodes now, but you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, we're out there. And please leave us a review. We would love to get your feedback. And you can also submit questions if you have a question to be answered right in the show notes. And we'll be right back with our first question about motivating employees after a word from our sponsor.
I like it.
Are you looking to expand and grow your small business but don't have time to keep up with the latest trends in technology? We've got you covered with the weekly Small Biz Ahead newsletter. Sign up today and start receiving our weekly email chock full of the latest tools and resources to help you run a successful business. Find us at smallbizahead.com.
And we're back with question number one. This is from Susan in Park City, Utah. Susan writes, a few years ago, I opened a small accounting firm. Oh, right up your alley, Gene.
I like her already. Did you know that accounting firms are the most profitable small businesses in the country?
That makes sense.
Yep. When you look at all like businesses and retail and whatever, services, manufacturing, distribution, accounting firms are the most profitable.
Really? Yep. All right. So there's a new business idea for anyone out there that's looking.
Yep. Great example of something that's like, okay, it's boring. It's an accounting firm. I'm an accountant. It's whatever. But, you know, there's a difference between boring and making money.
Yeah.
And accounting firms can make money.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it. So Susan opened her accounting firm a few years ago. Since then, it's really taken off, and I've been able to bring in more staff. I hired one person last year who has always done a phenomenal job, but lately he's been seeming melancholy.
Mm.
He's still doing a great job, but he doesn't...
That's because he's working at an accounting firm.
He's still doing a great job, but he doesn't get excited about his work anymore. I know, accounting, she says. I'm worried that he might leave, and at this point, I can't really afford to lose one of my best employees. Is there anything I can do to remotivate or reinvigorate him? So
I'm curious to hear what you've got to say about this, because I've got my opinion on this.
Well, I mean, to take it to the extreme, if someone leaves, they leave. Your business will recover. You will find a new person.
Right.
It will be painful, definitely. Gene, I'm sure you've had that happen to you.
Right.
But did this just come out of anywhere? Like, I'm wondering, A, he could have problems outside the office that he's just, like, sad. And you do spend quite a lot of time with your coworkers and at work. So that could be it. But motivating and reinvigorating him, I think a lot of times people think their best employees don't need motivation because they're so good.
Mm.
But because they're so good, they might get bored really easily. You know, they might think like, I'm just not invested in this anymore. Like, I've put so much effort into this. I'm doing a great job. I haven't gotten a raise. I haven't gotten a promotion. I haven't gotten any new, like, good projects to work on. So maybe he's thinking of leaving.
You know, it's interesting too, when you think about it, the, everybody, whether or not they're your best employees or not, I mean, everybody needs to be reminded once in a while why they're doing this, you know? Yeah. I mean, you know, yes, we have jobs and yes, it's to earn a living so we can raise our families and all that. But, you know, as people, we all want to feel like we are part of something. We are doing something. I mean, you know, and it's, and I always use the example of the Hartford is just that, you know, the Hartford is providing, you know, insurance, you know what I mean? And providing that kind of help to small and large businesses and individuals around that. I mean, it's a good thing that this company does. Sometimes you get, you know, you get lost in it because you're busy in your silly day-to-day work, you know? And it's the same thing at your business, same thing with an accounting firm is providing that kind of a service to clients. So, you know, look, you're right. This guy being melancholy might have, he could be going through a divorce. He could have some personal issues, you know, all that kind of stuff. But at the very least, I mean, to talk with him and you check in with him and then also like remind him what a great job he's doing. And also remind him like what you're trying to do here and what a big role he plays in that and all of that could really, really help. It really could make a difference. And it also might open him up to explain to you why he might be frustrated. In the end, though, you know, if you still walk away from a meeting like that or a dinner like that with your employee, that this person still seems like they're on the fence, whatever. Business owners, I keep talking about smart business owners, I know, but they always, none of us like surprises. And we're always prepared for surprises. We're always planning ahead. And if you've got an inkling that like somebody like might be on the way out, you need to be making your plans as to what you're going to do about it so it does not turn your business upside down.
Now, do you ever think it's a good idea to offer someone more money to stay?
No, I really don't. I never think it's about money. I really don't. Unless the person comes right out and says it's about money, and then even then it's usually not about money. Because, I mean, as long as you're being competitive, a few extra dollars to a person is not going to make a difference about them staying with you.
Yeah.
The only thing that it could do is it could be a Band-Aid. So by offering somebody a little bit more money to keep them around, knowing in the back of your mind, like this will probably keep them around for another 6 months or a year.
I was just going to say that.
It gives you the opportunity to then find that person's replacement or, you know, make your plans.
I have seen that happen before where people have been 1 foot out the door. They get offered more money and then they stay, but then they leave.
Then they leave again. Later. Yeah. Because it's never about the money.
Yeah.
It's really not. So, in the end, like I said, is that, you know, you want your people to be happy, and enjoy working where you are, and things change. People change their minds. People get bored. It's for all sorts of reasons. You got to accept that. It's not you. It's not your business. It's human nature. Your responsibility to your shareholders, to yourself, to your other employees is to continue your business, and continue it profitably. That's your responsibility. So if you have, again, an inkling that you think a key person might be on the way out, you got to be thinking to yourself, okay, if he or she walks in my office tomorrow and says they're quitting, what's my plan?
Yeah.
Got to have a plan in place for dealing with that.
Now, how often do you meet with your employees one-on-one?
I talk to them frequently on the phone, and then I meet with them on average, you know, 3-4 times a year.
You Skype with them?
Yeah, or? We don't actually do this. We'll just talk phone, and then we have like, we'll have meetings, but we'll get together, you know, clients, or we'll go out to lunch or whatever and talk.
Do you ever pick that up from someone like, oh, they seem like they might be on their way out, and it turns out to be something totally
different? Yeah, I mean, different people go in different moods, and so you can't, you know, it's kind of tough to tell. And what's also tough with me is that I'll see somebody, then I won't see them face-to-face for another 2 months, you know, so it's kind of tough to pick up because people can put on a show just for a lunch, you know. So I find it a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, definitely. Remote workforce.
Yep, that's one of the problems with the remote workforce.
Okay, we will be back with question number 2 after a word from our sponsor.
Running a business is challenging, and you probably don't always have the time to research new strategies, market trends, and develop skills. But imagine if you could have all the latest information on running a business delivered to you every week. Luckily, there's the weekly Small Biz Ahead newsletter. We offer some of the best information available for business owners, ranging from topics such as time management, game-changing technology and apps, to developing management and leadership skills. Sign up today for the Small Biz Ahead newsletter at smallbizahead.com.
And we're back with question 2. This is from David from Asheville, North Carolina.
I love Asheville.
I would love to visit there.
You've never been there. It's a beautiful town. It's absolutely beautiful town.
Yeah, I've heard it's really great.
Yep.
So David writes, I run a small print shop and I'm trying to incentivize my customers to pay on time or even early so that I don't have to keep chasing them down. Gene is already like sucking in air. Should I tell them that they'll get a discount if they pay early? Or that they'll be charged a fee if they pay late?
No.
The math works out the same, but I can't decide what phrasing to use. Okay, I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay.
So I love this researcher named Robert Cialdini.
Yeah.
He does all of this research about persuasion.
Yep.
And he says that it's always more effective to motivate people with something that they'll lose out on rather than something they'll gain.
Okay.
So in that thinking, if these are your only options, either a discount or a late fee, obviously you would just raise your rates and tell people you're giving them a discount. But I would.
Well, you're getting to know me pretty well, Elizabeth, aren't you? Good job.
I would go. I know. Well, I've been sitting here for a long time.
Right.
I would go with a discount. I think that would persuade me. I mean, I'm pretty gullible, but when someone says to me, "Like, I'm going to provide this service if you pay me on the spot, you'll get a 15% discount," I'm going to pay you on the spot.
Right. I think that's fine. Whatever you want to do to get cash in the door, you know, good for you. I like what you said earlier about, you know, building that into your rates so you're really not giving a discount, but your customer thinks that you are giving them a discount. I mean, look, there are a lot of ways to collect money faster, and you don't want to be in the situation where you have provided a service or shipped a product and then you're sitting around waiting for the customer to pay and then chasing them down. It's like the worst situation to be in. So a few things to think, depending on the size of the sale, you know, you can consider actually, you know, requiring half payment up front and the other half payment when it's delivered or the service is performed. Because the half payment up front covers your costs and your overhead, and the other half should hopefully be your profit. So if you have the ability to do that, and that happens all the time in the construction industry, and you know, if you're getting a kitchen remodeled or whatever, people always ask for deposits, so they're not out of pocket for the materials that they're buying. That's done like all the time. That's something that should be considered.
Is that done for printing? I know you have a client who
does printing. If you have a large printing job, I mean, depending on the size of it, if it's a few $1,000, you say, we're, you know, happy to do that job, but we're going to need, you know, 50% up front and then 50% when we deliver the materials. I see that done in the printing business all the time. The other thing is, I'm a big fan of credit cards. You're going to say, oh, they charge the fees, you know, whatever. And like, it's the same thing as us. Rather than giving a discount, you can, you know, you can bake those fees into the price that you charge. But when you use a credit card, you get paid right away. And the other advantage, you tell your customer that, like, if they pay by credit card with you, like, you know, right now they get points on their credit card, so they can use those points for whatever they want to do. So, you know, rather than getting a discount, you know, they're actually using it for the credit card. I do. We take all credit cards, and we take it for big amounts. You know, like, no amount is too big or small for me to take a credit card payment. But again, you know, we have those costs built into our overhead. So we're able to absorb a credit card cost.
So as a business owner, is it more important to get paid immediately or get paid the full?
Immediately.
Yeah.
It's all about cash.
See, that's when I like the discount. Then you're going to get it. You're going to get it at the time of delivery.
Right. Understood.
And for that, maybe we should now talk about mobile payments because for a print shop, you're probably doing everything over the phone. But if you have a delivery person delivering the product, then maybe you do want to have a mobile payment app on his phone or her phone to get paid immediately.
True. And so mobile payments themselves are definitely a thing. It's just that, Elizabeth, I mean, just mobile payments are absolutely going to be happening. It's amazing. Like, we've been talking about mobile payments for a year, you and I.
Yeah.
I'm still not, like, using my phone. I use sometimes my Samsung to pay for, like, a taxi ride.
Yeah.
And even then, my heart's beating faster that it's going to be accepted when I'm holding it up and waving it around. So you know it's going to happen. But, you know, I still say for the next 6 to 12 months, mobile payment is still not yet hit that tipping point.
But I've been using my credit card to pay for stuff and for goods and services, and a customer service person is using their cell phone or their smartphone to take the payment.
Yeah, that's okay. Happening. Okay, yeah, that is. And they usually have the Square reader or something like that. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So that's just accepting credit cards, you know, on your mobile device. And, you know, you have the ability to do that. Again, some people, you know, getting back to the whole discussion about discounts, you know, if you're going to give a 2% discount or you're going to pay that 2% to the credit card company, it's still costing you the 2%.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, you know, it's a bigger, you know, it's up to how you want to position it and sell it to your customer. But I hate discounting the price of my services. Like, I'd almost rather pay the credit card the fee and know that the customer doesn't think that, like, I've devalued my credit, you know, my service or my product.
But that's why I think you could just raise your rates, the 2%.
You could do that too, right?
And to cover. I've also seen small business owners, like, I'll get an email from a business and they'll say, you know what, my rates are going up. They're going up on November 1st.
Right.
If you book now.
Right.
You can still use the current rate.
That's fine. That's fair
and
enough.
That actually gets me to take some action.
Right.
Because then I feel like I'm getting a discount. When I'm not getting a discount.
The thing that drives me nuts, though, is that when people say, like, you can pay by cash for this amount, but if you pay by credit, it will cost you more. And I'm just like,
I can't stand that.
I find that to be like, why is that making me?
It's super cheesy.
Yeah. It's just, and a lot of companies do that. It's just it should just be the price. I don't like discounting.
Because you think just psychologically, people think you got worse service.
Yeah, I do. I just think that it's, if you're that easy that you can just, you know, take some dollars off your price, you know, then the customer's thinking like, oh, I should have asked for more.
So for David, then maybe what he could do is say, if you pay on time of delivery, it's this price. It goes up by this percentage after a certain amount of time.
I think what David can do, if I was in his business, and you learn this as you're in business for a while, you know, you get to know your customers, right? So there are some customers that just pay on time. You don't have to worry about them, and they're good customers. So you don't have to monkey around. Fine, you ship them the goods, you send them an invoice. There's no discounts, no nothing. They pay, they're good payers, and that's good. You're going to get to know over time those customers that don't pay very well. So sure, for those customers, you should be saying, listen, you know, we're going to need payment by credit card up front.
Yeah.
That's what the option is. For new customers where you don't know the answer at all, until you get to know them, my recommendation is you either get a deposit up front for a bigger job or you take a credit card.
Okay. All right. Good advice. We're going to be right back with Gene's Word of Brilliance.
The Small Biz Ahead podcast is brought to you by the Business Owner's Playbook. Whether you're a seasoned small business owner or just starting out, the Business Owner's Playbook is your go-to destination for how to run your business. From business plan templates to advice on managing employees, the Business Owner's Playbook features up-to-date, sound advice on running your business.
Okay, we're back with our word of
poop.
Brilliance.
It's poop. The word of brilliance is poop. Yes, you heard right. It's poop. P-O-O-P. The word of brilliance really is poop, and I think, and there's a reason why I use this word and use it over and over again. I wrote about this in Entrepreneur Magazine about my dog walker. We seem to talk about pets a lot on this show. So, okay, so it's my dog walker, and I have a good story about him because he is, we have a dog walking little business in our neighborhood that we pay, I think it's like 10 bucks each time they walk, you know, they walk the dog.
Yeah, that's about what I pay.
And the woman that owns the business has a guy, you know, she has a few people that work for her, and she has a guy that comes in, and he would come in, and his name is Charlie. He would come in and he would walk her dogs. Anyway, Charlie started up his own dog walking business on the other side of the city. So he left this woman and he started up that business from scratch.
What are your dog's names?
Well, Fudge passed away in February. Fudge, yes, I know. But our other dog is Penelope.
No,
it's her name, Penelope. So, don't laugh. So Charlie would come and walk both the dogs, and now Charlie's walking Penelope, and then he eventually left, and he started up his own dog walking business. That's what he does. He picks up poop. But he did it the right way. We talked about this briefly in a previous podcast, but I want to kind of reemphasize it with Charlie's story. He worked in this dog walking business for 5 years. He walked dogs, and he was a really good employee, worked very well with the woman who ran the business, got to know the business backwards and forwards, learned everything there was to know about the dog walking. It was a young kid. Yeah. The guy's like in his mid-20s now, and he, you know, he just didn't want to be in the corporate life. So he learned the dog walking business, and he said to himself, this is great. There are a lot of things I'm going to do just like the woman. There's a few things I'm going to do differently myself. And he went out and started up his own business on the other side of town. And by the way, did it amicably as well. He's still friends with his former employer. They sometimes trade off work if they need, you know, each other because, you know, people in the business are that way. And believe me, in Philadelphia, it's a big dog city. So there's a lot of work that's out there for the guy. And the point I want to make is that, like, whether you're picking up poop or you're going into the restaurant business or you're going to be your own, you know, web design firm or whatever, you know, before you just have this bright idea and then just jump into it and start a business, you got to take 3 to 5 years out of your life and learn the business.
An apprenticeship.
You got to be an apprentice. That's exactly right. And, you know, you go back 150 years ago in a 19th century England, you used to pay the blacksmith, pay him so that you could apprentice for him for 10 years before you took over the business. He wasn't paying you. These all these internships nowadays where they're paying the interns. It's the other way around. An apprenticeship is very, very important for you to learn what to do with your business. So if you have a great business idea and you want to start up a company, or you love to walk dogs, you want to start up and be a dog walking business, take a few years out, work for another dog walker, learn, copy, do things better, figure out how you're going to provide value in your own business, learn how the business works, how they collect cash, how they pay their bills, how they get new customers, all the good, the bad. For all you know, you might work for 3 years at a dog walking business and be like, what, I must have been nuts even thinking I want to do this for a living.
I hate dogs.
And this business is crazy. So you learn. And then once you've learned, you go in and start your own business with experience. That's when I've seen business owners, startups succeed. Because they're not just starting with nothing and no experience. They actually have something behind them.
And speaking of dog walking and pets in general, that is another huge growing industry.
It is.
People love bringing their dogs to doggy daycare. They want someone like coming in and playing with their cats during the day. So that's another kind of new business area to look at if you are an animal lover.
Correct.
It's a big one. I mean, nowadays, most people do have dog walkers.
Yeah.
Like they don't just leave the dog home alone for 10 hours
a day. Yeah. Well, we do too. It's definitely a big business. And then of course all the pet accessories and the beds and the cookies and the whatever. So
it's a great business. Beds.
Yeah. My goodness. Now that's spoiling your dog, Elizabeth. My goodness.
And 2 jackets.
Oh no.
Okay. That's it for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. We'll be back with you next week.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Jean for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.